The 4th of July marked this year not just the glorious celebration of our Day of Independence, but the 4th of July this year also marked the 100th anniversary of the death of Pier Giorgio Frassati, a young man who died at the age of 24, a young man who was from Turin, Italy, way up north in Italy by the Alps, and who will be canonized in 2 months, a saint by Pope Leo. When you think of the sort of family that a saint is born into, this isn't the case at all. His family that he was born into, his father was a very wealthy and a prominent man throughout all of Italy. He started in Turin a newspaper, La Stampa, and he became a very important politician throughout the nation. And he was also an intense atheist. His mom was an artist, a very artistic soul, and she was a nominal Catholic. You know, she was Catholic in name only. She'd practice the faith sort of sporadically. She would go here and there. But the faith was never much more than just sort of a family tradition that they would pass down. It was never anything that had ever, with Pier Giorgio growing up, reached very deep into her heart. His mom and his dad, they lived in one of the most beautiful homes in Turin. You know, the kind you pass by and you think, wouldn't that be a great place to live? Beautiful home, nice prominent family. But behind the gates, life there growing up was at times pure hell. Because Pier Giorgio's mom and dad, they would often erupt into these long and violent fights. They would scream at each other for hours. Things would be thrown. And Pier Giorgio, he had one sibling, a little sister. And when these fights would break out, he would take her and he would bring her on walks through the town to get her out of the house. And he would teach her on these walks how to pray. And you think, how did this little boy, how did he develop a faith like that? I mean, there wasn't much that was passed to him from his parents. But his parents, his mom, wanted him at least to receive the sacraments. And so he went and was trained by the Salesian sisters for his first communion. And they had taught him, as all little kids are taught the truth of the Eucharist, that Jesus, God, is truly present when you receive him in the Eucharist. And to ask him to enter as you receive him into your heart, in God's presence, his peace, his strength will be with you. Upon receiving his first communion, it was a hook that caught in little Pier Giorgio's heart, because he believed this truth. He believed the truth of it. And he received Jesus in the Eucharist with love. And he would, after his first communion, as a little boy and through his teenage years, he would sneak out of the house early in the morning. And he would go to the 5 a.m. Mass at the little church nearby. And he continued doing this, to go to daily Mass. His dad caught him coming back in one time early in the morning. He said, "Where have you been?" He told him, "I was at Mass." He didn't try and stop him, but he said, "You're just wasting your time." But he told his dad, he said, "It's where I receive all the strength that I need for the day. I receive all the strength I need from Jesus in the Eucharist." But he knew that the peace and that the strength of Jesus that he received in the Eucharist, it wasn't just meant for him. It's not just meant for him, but it's meant to be something he received and then brought out to others. Just like in the gospel, the disciples receive power from Jesus. They had been with him, they had learned from him. But now they were bringing that out to others. Pier Giorgio, he knew that what he received from Jesus in the Eucharist was meant to be brought to others. And he developed through his love for Jesus in the Eucharist an intense love for his brothers and his sisters in Turin who were poor. And he joined the St. Vincent de Paul Society. We have one right here in Dickinson, which has the mission of going out and bringing Jesus to those who are less fortunate. And he developed a deep love for, he said, his brothers and his sisters who were poor. Because he said, like Mother Teresa echoed years later, that Jesus, he's hidden in the Eucharist. Sometimes you can't see him, but he's there and he's truly present. He said, this is the same for my brothers and my sisters who are poor. Sometimes you can't see it, but Jesus, he is there present in them. And so he would go to them, he would befriend them, and he would at times give the jacket off of his back or the shoes off of his feet, quite literally. One time after he had given his shoes to one of his friends who was homeless, he was walking back in his socks and he was joking with his friends. He's like, look at this. You watch, this is going to become the new style in Turin. Just wearing your socks through the streets. But it was his friendships as well that was a huge part of his life, because you can't just live your faith on your own. He developed this close-knit friend group, this group of other men who they called their group the Tipiloshi, which means the shady characters, because they would strive and challenge each other to grow in their faith, but they're always, as they're challenging each other, play practical jokes on one another. And they like to hang out in sort of, you know, shady places too, like in the cafes and the billiard halls. And they would go, and he was quite the pool shark, and they would meet other people as they were playing pool. And the guys that he would meet, he would challenge them. He said, all right, because you know it's always a lot more fun if you got a little something on the line. He said, all right, if I win this match, or if you win this match, I got your meal tonight. I'll pay for your meal. But if I win, you're coming with me to Mass tomorrow morning. And whether he was just really, really good, or it was God's providence, his friends say he almost always won the matches. And the next day, these other guys, they would end up coming with them to Mass in the morning. They would come with him to Mass in the morning. And a number of those guys, after losing enough to him and coming to Mass, that hook would be caught in their heart as well. These friends, the thing that they like to do the best, though, these shady characters, is go mountain climbing. Pier Giorgio was a very athletic man, and he loved mountain climbing. And he had a saying as they would be climbing the mountain. He's like, verso alto, to the heights. Because he said, as you're climbing and you're going up atop the mountain and seeing the beauty of God's creation, he said, it's there up higher and higher in the mountain where you can hear best the voice of God. And when they would reach the summit together, they would, hearing the voice of God more clearly, they would pray the rosary together, raise their own voices to God. But he loved mountain climbing as well, because he said to climb a mountain, and I mean like really climb it, not just take the little trails that are nice, but to really climb a mountain is like the spiritual life. It's like this desire to be closer to God. He said, climbing a mountain, it's difficult, it's challenging, it's hard. But the reward of it is so immense that as you climb a mountain and you reach an opening and you can see below you all the valley and the beauty, and it takes your breath away as you're trying to catch your breath. He said the reward of that, you don't think about the grueling climb that you had just finished. But he said this is much like the spiritual life, because people know it's difficult, it's challenging. And so a lot of people, they would prefer, well, that's for somebody else. Or they'll just go just up a little ways, and they're like, ah, I don't want it. It's... But he said the challenge is real. It's difficult, but the reward and the glory of it makes all the difficulty of it seem more than worth it. When he was 24 years old, this man who was young and athletic and filled, they said, with twice the amount of energy of any other man his age, even though he didn't get much sleep, waking up so early every morning, he became sick with polio. Having contracted it from going out and bringing Jesus to his friends, the poor. And a lot of people could be tempted contracting an illness like that, and one that just kept getting worse and worse, to become filled with a self-pity. Jesus, I love you. I go to Mass every day. I go, I visit the poor. I do all these things for you. I try and evangelize and bring others to you. And here I am sick and getting worse and worse and worse. But it wasn't Pier Giorgio. But instead, he praised God because he knew that through the cross that he was now experiencing, through his cross, that he was being drawn in some mysterious way closer and closer to Jesus. That Jesus upon the cross was becoming more real to him. And he also knew that the most powerful prayer that he'd had, and the most powerful prayer anyone who is sick has, is in offering that prayer, that suffering to God for others. It's the most powerful prayer. And so in his sickness, he continued to do this. And in fact, one of his last acts, they say, as he was sick and in pain in bed, you can still see this little note that he wrote to one of his friends who was very poor, who he had been going to for years. He wrote a note to him and then a note to others to remember to bring his friend Giovanni the medication that he needs. When he died, it was a complete shock for his parents, but was even more of a jarring shock to them was when at his funeral, thousands of people filled this church and spilled out into the streets. And among these thousands of people were the hundreds and hundreds of poor and homeless, and the dozens and dozens of young men whom he had befriended and he had brought to Mass. And his parents were shocked, and his father, who was a hardened man, he wept, his sister said, as he said, "I never knew my son was a saint." And the hatred and animosity that existed between his mother and his father, even in his death, Pier Giorgio evangelized. Because as they would go through his stuff, they had separated in their marriage. They never came back together, but there was a warmth that developed between them. There was a reconciliation where the hatred was able to melt away. And his younger sister, you remember her? That hook that had been in Pier Giorgio's heart of the love of Jesus, after his death, it had hooked in her own heart. And she fell deeply in love with Jesus. She married and had 6 children of her own. I met one time the youngest of her children, her daughter Wanda. We were on a pilgrimage with a group of high school students. And she got on the bus and she just spoke with us for maybe 15 minutes. But she got up and she was saying to all the kids who were, 18 years old, she said, "Pier Giorgio, my uncle, he was just like you. He was just like you. He fell in love. He had his heart broken. Just like you probably have had. He was just like many of you in that his home life, it was hell. Many of you might not have good home lives. He did not. He didn't get along with his parents all the time. But he was just like you in that he received Jesus in the Eucharist, and that's the same Jesus you receive. It's not a different Jesus. And the same peace and the same strength that he received in the Eucharist in Jesus, That's who you are receiving too. We think saints are very different, but no, Pier Giorgio, he was just like you. And you can be a saint too. As we come very close to the canonization of Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, we ask him especially at this Mass to pray for you, to pray for your families. Many of us will receive him in the Eucharist today. It's the same Eucharist. It's the same Jesus that Pier Giorgio received again and again. It was his strength and it's yours. It was all the grace and strength he needed and the love of God for that love to pour out in his love for the poor, for his friends, and for his family. May he pray for us and strengthen us at this Mass and in this Eucharist.